Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
They got to steal this one Sunday, McClain. They got to steal this one Sunday. If the Texans win on Sunday, playoff hopes are still alive. We're not even hiking the leg right now, but go ahead. Go ahead and hike it if you want to. If they steal this one on Sunday, you're looking at a potential playoff run by the Texans in 2020.
I say there's no way they're going to beat the Packers or catching the Packers at the worst time after they lost 38-10 at Tampa Bay and Rodgers was awful and he's going to feast on this defense. Jeez. And I think even if they did shock the world and beat the Packers, they have no way of making the playoffs because the defense is too wretched.
Wretched. Wretched and ratchet.
Wait a minute. Y'all said we weren't. That wasn't a leg hike.
No, it wasn't.
It was
figgy
early
got,
one.
Figgy got
well,
good
I apologize.
There.
Yeah,
good
me, let me zip back up.
Yeah, you can crush me on that. When
are we going to talk about the defense?
We're going to talk about the defense.
We will in just a sec. I just want to ask you, though, as far as your confidence level heading into this, what is it in comparison to a couple days ago when they were facing the Titans compared to now facing this Packers team?
I feel better about the Texans offense because it's three games in a row that Watson has thrown 300 yards. He's gotten better in each game. He seems to be comfortable with all his receivers. It's interesting with Jordan Akins out the last two games, Darren Fells has been on fire. So I feel really good about the passing game, not the running game, and don't feel good about anything on defense. It's too bad that the defense couldn't stop the Titans on one of those last two drives. Then we would talk about Justin Reed's blocked field goal, J.J. Watt's strip flag, sack, Bradley Roby's great interception, all three setting up touchdowns. And instead, we got to talk about how bad the defense is, historically bad.
I'm glad you brought up J.J. That's where I was going to start with the defense. J.J. couldn't have done any more, John. I mean,
He played a great game.
He could not have done any more. And it got me to thinking, as painful as it is, having the game that he did and this defense still giving up 600 yards and still getting torched, is it time to trade J.J.?
Absolutely not. If you've got people excited because you fired Bill O'Brien and pumped because you're going to bring in a general manager and let him hire the coach and make decisions he wants to make and people are fired up, what is the only thing you could do that would anger everybody would be trading J.J. Watt?
Let me put it this way. I think it would be disappointing. I would be sad. I don't know if I would be angry. And I think there's a big difference in those emotions. I would be sad that he didn't get it done here. I'd be sad that he's leaving. But I wouldn't be angry because you just said it. They're not going to the playoffs. They have a wretched defense. They don't have any draft picks. One way to fix that and be a little optimistic is to trade J.J.
Yeah, well, that ain't happening. I wouldn't trade J.J. unless somebody offered me two number one picks, which isn't going to happen. No way I'd trade Watt.
John McClain with us here on Sports Radio 610. So why does this defense stink so bad? I mean, it's not surprising to any of us, but, I mean, I feel like the defense has been somewhat neglected in the last couple years under King Bill. But from just like a on-field standpoint, what are the glaring weaknesses of this defense?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Landry, because I wrote everything I know about the defense today and how it got to be bad, and I want to give you some numbers. 601 yards against the Titans. That shattered the most in franchise history, which was 535 against the Titans in 03. They're giving up 177.6 yards a game against the run. That would shatter the all-time worst of 148.1. In 2003, their second year of existence, they are so bad against the run, they've given up 1,065 yards. That is 270 more than they've ever given up through six games. That was in 2005 when Dom Capers got fired. In the last two seasons, 18 and 19, they gave up three 100-yard running backs. They've given up four this season. Now, this problem, in 2018, they were third in the league, gave up 82 yards a game. Then they traded Clowney. They let Matthew go in free agency and did not offer Kareem Jackson a new contract. But through the first nine games of last season, they only gave up 84 yards a game without all those guys. But since then, the last nine games of last season, they gave up 163, and if you do the last nine games of last season and the first six of this season, it's 169. So DJ Reader was part of that run collapse last year. When people say, oh, they need to keep DJ Reader, I don't know if it's a scheme, but like Zach Cunningham is not playing well. Justin Reed's not playing well. PJ Hall was a great find. That guy is kicking some butt up front, getting off backs, making plays against the run. And of course, Watt had a great game, but they're not playing well. They're not playing smart mentally. Zach Cunningham grabbing at Derrick Henry's jersey, getting in the wrong gaps, turning around, having to run in the other direction. That's not what they're paying these guys for. And it's a collective disappointment, and I don't see any end in sight. Aaron Jones should be the next back to just feast on this horrific run defense.
Well, you put a lot of possibilities out there. You know, scheme would point to Anthony Weaver. They're not playing well means they're just not having a good year. Obviously, there's some personnel decisions that have been made. I mean, is it a combination because the personnel on this defense is just not top notch. And to me, that's what it is.
But they shouldn't be giving up 177.6 yards a game rushing. Cunningham signed a new contract, hadn't been working. But Whitney Mercilus signed a new contract. He didn't start this game because they went with an extra lineman. Bradley Roby signed a new contract. He's still their best cover guy and made a great interception, but he gave up the tying touchdown pass. And so they've got guys who are not playing as well. And I don't know if it's because of Anthony Weaver, because of his scheme, because they're making it too complicated. Usually when you play like this, you got to do the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. And don't make these guys think. I want to see Ross Blacklock get a chance to make plays like he did on the 1 yard loss. I want to see Jonathan Grenard get out there and say, Jonathan, don't think in third and 12. Just rush the quarterback. Act like you're back in the SEC. John Reed got some playing time early at slot corner. Let that guy have some more chances because you're certainly not going anywhere with the guys you have.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us here on Sports Radio 610. I guess my question is, what's the fix? Because 2020, who knows, this isn't going to be a good defense. Maybe it can be an awful defense instead of god-awful. But what exactly is the fix? Where do you even start without a first-round pick, without a second-round pick, with this money committed to Mercilus? But where do you even start?
Well, they got eight draft choices, and they got draft picks in the third round down. I wrote that last week showing all the productive players they've gotten from the third round down throughout their history. So if the new GM knows what he's doing, and they coach them right, they'll still be able to get some players. And teams can fix a cap issue. You know, they're going to be $15 million over the cap. There's things they can do to get under and add some players. So I don't think it's hopeless. People email me and they'll go, oh, my God, they're 5 years away. I said, Bill O'Brien took over a 2-14 team, went 9-7 with Ryan Fitzpatrick, Case Keenum, and Ryan Mallett starting games at quarterback. And they said, well, they had their first-round picks. Yeah, they had Clowney, missed almost the whole season, and their second-round pick, Xavier Suofilo, got one start. So they didn't have a contribution from the first two picks, and they still went from 214 to 9-7.
Where do you think they are in the general manager search, and is Jack Easterby involved?
Jack Easterby's going to be on the search committee, just like Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, Jamie Roots, Corn Ferry. I still think, as I've said, I think they should put some – I think I'd put Matt Bazergan, the personnel director. I guess they can't do that because he could fire him.
Yeah.
But I would like to see him put Wade Phillips on there, and I would have a consortium of consultants that I would want to know what they thought. Guys like Bill Parcells, Bill Polian, people that still, Ron Wolf, people that still keep up with the NFL because of, and I'd want to know what they think. And maybe one or two names are on everybody's list. I would not pay attention to their friends. I would not pay attention to somebody they'd had with multiple jobs. But you can't get too much information. I would interview Lewis Riddick. I'd interview Thomas Dimitroff. I'd want to know. You don't have to wait till the end of the year. Reggie McKenzie's another guy out there. I'd interview him. I would want to know what all these people thought about my organization and what they would do about it. And I'd want to know what they all thought. And then if there's a common theme, like all of them go, well, you need new guards, then by God, I'm going to get a general manager that believes we need a new guards if that's what he thinks. You need a new running back, although we can all see this. They could hire us. But that's what I would do. I would talk to as many people as I could. I'd record it. I would have it all transcribed for me. And then I'd have some algorithm about showing, 10 guys you interviewed said these 7 things the same. I'd want as much information as I could get in this age of technology in which information is power.
So we agree that they need a new running back, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure. I thought you wanted to give David Johnson a lifetime contract after the last segment.
You didn't read my column today, did you?
Come on now.
Come on.
He read mine.
Of course I did. What about Lewis
Riddick? Well, if you had, you would know that I didn't write about David Johnson today. It was yesterday.
There you go.
Is Lewis Riddick a real possibility?
Lewis, for this team, I have no idea. They hadn't even started the search yet. They're just they're doing things internally about this job first. I say this about Lewis Riddick. He's been a former personnel guy. He sounds really smart on ESPN, as all coaches and general manager prospects do. And I would interview him because he pays close attention to what's going on in the NFL. And I don't know why he hadn't gotten a job like Eric Bieniemy. He's interviewed for 6 jobs and he hadn't been hired. I'd want to know why is that? And I'll tell you something else. I'm writing this for tomorrow. I would put Arthur Smith on my list of candidates, Titans offensive coordinator, who's been there for 10 years, who has worked his way up, who has 4 coaches. Munchak hired him, Wisenhunt kept him, Malarkey kept him, Vrabel kept him and made him offensive coordinator last year, and their offense has been tremendous, and nobody knows that more than the Titans. And I'll say one more thing. I wrote today, Mike Vrabel should have mercy on the Texans by resting Derrick Henry in the last game because it's probably not going to mean anything for the Titans, who may have their playoff seating secure. And if they do, have mercy on this defense. And don't let Henry get 200 yards for the 3rd consecutive game against the Texans. I'll guarantee you that's never been done in NFL history.
That's something nobody's talking about. You get the Titans the final week, they'll want to rest Derrick Henry. There we go. There's another dub. We're just getting to the playoffs sooner rather
than
later.
Same thing last year where they rested 6 defensive starters.
Right.
He rushed for 211 yards. They went 9-7, made the playoffs, and capitalized.
There we go. John McClain with us here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get world famous. This one's going to get intense. Daryl Morey, working for the Houston Texans. World famous McClain leg hiking next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, John McClain, here we go, leg hiking. Let's get this one out of the way. I want to know what you think. Daryl Morey will be a candidate for the Texans' general manager job.
That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Hike it high, Figgy.
Is it
hike
really it that dumb? He's that smart.
That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
All right, Jeff Luno should get an interview for the Texans to see if he can be part of the organization.
Let me see how I can be nice. That is also one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
The next head coach of the Houston Texans will not retain Jack Easterby.
Head coach will have nothing to do with it.
I mean, general manager. My bad. I misspoke. The next general manager will not retain Jack Easterby.
Well, I'd have to know who the general manager is. I figure he'll keep him the first year, and he'll go back to the role he had as director of football operations, in which he'll do all the things that the general manager doesn't want to do. General manager will be over personnel.
So you think he should be able
to
be
here? After that, I don't know.
At least a year.
I think he'll be here at least a year and give him a chance to prove himself to the new GM.
Jack Easterby will make a trade before the trade deadline this year.
Make a trade. I don't see him doing anything significant. If they lose a player and they give a seventh-round draft choice for somebody, the deadline is on November 2nd. So I'll say no. Hike it.
Deshaun Watson will pass for more yards than Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers.
I'll say yes, because out of necessity, the Chiefs proved yesterday they can run the ball very well with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And even though I don't think Le'Veon Bell is a starter in the NFL anymore, he'd be a good breather. So I think out of desperation.
Interestingly,
we're going to see Watson throwing a lot.
Yeah, he actually has thrown for more yards than both of those guys already.
Well, it's more coming.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill's the best quarterback in the AFC South.
No, I don't think hike it. I don't think anybody would take Tannehill over Watson. He's in a great offense because of Derrick Henry, and it works to perfection the way he does the play-action game. He doesn't have to throw a lot, but he's very efficient in the red zone because Henry has scored 19 touchdowns in the red zone over the last three seasons. Inside the 5-yard line.
Right. David Johnson will not rush for more than 700 yards this year.
Well, he's on a pace for almost 900, and if he stays healthy, I'll say more than 700. So, hike it.
Jeff Luno is a slime ball.
Hike it. I would never say that. The guy did too great of a job here in putting together three teams that were turned around.
I didn't say he was a bad GM. I just said he was a slime ball.
I've never met him, so I wouldn't know if he's a slime ball, so I'd say no. Hike it.
All right. Brandon Cooks will lead the Texans in receiving.
Hike it. I think it'll be Will Fuller if he stays healthy.
That's why I asked. That's why I said Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I didn't think quick enough.
Bill O'Brien and John McClain have had a conversation since B.O.B. got fired.
Hike it. We haven't had any communication whatsoever. I sent him a text wishing him a luck, telling him how much I enjoyed working for him, and I hoped was working with him. And I was glad that his family was doing well and wished him the best of luck.
So that's a yes. You just hiked your leg for nothing.
No, you said we had a conversation. He didn't get back to me.
He didn't reply to that?
No, that was a text message. I'm sure he had a thousand of them.
What a classless SOB. That
was the day he got fired.
That slime ball. Dude, my gosh, man.
The NFC East will have a 6-win division winner.
I could see it the way they're going. The Cowboys have a historically bad defense, and they're in first place.
Man, 6-win division winner.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us here on Sports Radio 610.
The Dodgers will win the World Series.
Oh, like so many here, I'm a Rays fan. I would love to see the Astros play the Dodgers if they were going to beat them. But I'm so tired of all the Dodgers whining and crying. But you know what? If they're ever going to win it, this would be the year. So I say the Dodgers are going to win it.
Mike Vrabel is currently one of the 5 best coaches in the NFL.
Mike Vrabel is smart. He's doing a great coaching job. He's 5-0, so Let me see. I'll say yeah because I like him.
This is not a leg hiking. What was your take on his penalty, his 12th man on the field penalty?
Wait a minute. He said he never did that. Watched it again last night, and when he sent that lineman out there and been out there all year, Jonathan Joseph looked over at him like, what are you doing? This is 12 men. And he made this little motion like, I got this.
Yeah.
And then he's screaming at the guy to get off the field. I sent him a text saying, you know, he ought to be up for best actor.
Mm-hmm. And he just acted like so angry.
And
about
it's legal. It's legal.
Yeah. Oh, no question.
I think it's the second time he did it. It was very smart.
Yeah, he did it against the Jets earlier.
Pretty brilliant. John McClain with us here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Tim Kelly is proving himself as an offensive coordinator without King Bill lurking.
I agree, he is, especially when it comes to the passing game. You know, he needed an off season as a first-time play caller, and now he's got the game plan to himself. He works with the other coaches, of course. But when it comes to the passing game, he's doing a really good job.
Go ahead.
Anthony Weaver will be the only coach the next head coach retains.
No, Heikkinen. I think there'll be more than him, and I'm not even sure if Anthony's kept, it'll be a defensive line coach.
John McClain will never ever attend another movie theater again?
No, hike it. At some point, I'll go back.
When?
It's not going to be anytime soon.
When?
When there's a cure for the coronavirus and I get a vaccine.
There you go.
Don't you miss the popcorn?
I miss being in movie theaters, I can tell you that. But there's, you know, all the new movies are on streaming services.
This is true.
What's the go-to candy at the movie theater? You got the Milk Duds, you got the peanut M&Ms, obviously. You can go with.
We take our own. I like
even the rich people are smart. Even the rich people are smart.
It's a whole lot cheaper to stop at a drugstore and buy your candy than it is buying at the theater.
Tua Tagovailoa will carry the Miami Dolphins to the playoffs.
Well, first of all, Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing really well. And they're 3-3 and one game out of first place. So he's taking a heck of a chance going with a rookie before Fitzy starts playing bad. But I don't think they're going to make the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. So hike it. Now, Landry, why don't you say the University of Texas will beat the Baylor Bears?
There you go. Say it. All right. Say it.
All right. Texas will beat the Bears.
I agree.
What?
Wow.
Oh, man.
Baylor's not going into Austin and beat the Longhorns.
Oh,
there's,
yeah, that's hard to do.
There's not that many fans, and people have done it.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, Baylor's not that good. I watched them lose to West Virginia and Texas playing all these close games. At least the Longhorns are exciting. Well, and how about those Aggies, man?
You know who is good, John? You know who is good? Those fighting Texas Aggies, man.
They sure are. They got balance. I'm real happy for old Jimbo and all my Aggie buddies. It's fun to watch them.
Good deal.
All right, John. I didn't like ending it like that, but all right.
Gig him.
Whoa.
There we go.
Dump the hell out of that. That's my guy right there. John, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you very
much. Guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it as always. Have a great rest of the week. Gig him, hook him, and sick him Bears.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. Now he's just confused. Now he's just a confused individual. John McClain here on the Loop Sports Radio 610. Another chance for Deshaun to beat an elite quarterback. Some drama in the NFL. And my God, Jeff Luno, I feel dirty even watching you speak, you slime ball.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals. The tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Jeff Luno spoke for the first time yesterday, or did an interview for the first time. He's put out statements on KPRC2 with Vanessa Richardson. I got to tell you, that guy is a creep.
He's
a total creep. We'll hear from him in just a sec. But before we do, Mike Vrabel, not a creep. Pretty damn good coach. We praised him yesterday for the intentional too many men on the field with 3 minutes remaining in Sunday's game. He was asked about it. And if you thought he went Belichick by performing the actual task, he went even more hoodie when he was asked about what happened.
Question for you on that late 12 men on the field penalty against you guys. I guess first question was that, you know, intentionally done to stop the clock?
You know, we have to do a better job with penalties. You know, we had seven of them, I think, pretty uncharacteristic. You know, we had a few on offense. So, you know, we have to be better in all areas. And I think the penalties are one thing that we focus on, communicating, trying to give ourselves the best chance to win a football game.
So was it? I mean, I like his answer. That would be a yes if you're interpreting what he said there. Seven penalties. It was actually six penalties, I think.
Oh, it was seven, but he wanted one of them. Now on to the Packers for the Texans. Packers coming to town. 3.5-point underdog. The Texans will be on their home field at NRG. Aaron Rodgers, his reputation around the league, how would you describe it? Kind of like nonchalant, kind of...
Laid back. And also a little bit...
Like the anti-Tom Brady...
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Just too cool for school. I thought during the offseason, during the quarantine, I thought he probably had one of the best quotes that I heard from an athlete. And I just want to play it because I don't want to try to vilify Aaron Rodgers. I respect what the guy does. I respect what he's done. And honestly, I feel like his organization hadn't done him too many favors. But this was probably the best quote I heard during the quarantine. Aaron Rodgers with his former teammate A.J. Hawk just talking about all the storylines, all the narratives about NFL players playing and everything else that was going on in the real world.
Let's be smart about what we're doing and who we're seeing. One thing that I'm sure you love that I haven't done and will not do is being one of those celebs who's telling you how difficult it is or stay in your home stuff, you know, from a mansion or from this or that. Like, because what I do know is that my friends who are small business owners are really hurting. I mean, there's real people hurting. So I'm not going to like sit here in my privilege and, you know, tell people from my ivory tower, like, man, I know people are hurting and that is way more important to me than some sort of message of that I can relate to you. Like that to me just falls on deaf ears.
It does. And that's a good quote by Aaron Rodgers.
Cerebral. It was the word I was looking for.
I'm going to look that up.
He's a cerebral quarterback. Actually, human being.
Who? Yeah.
Very, very thoughtful, cerebral. Complex.
Do you ever, and I want you to be honest with me, don't bolt.
When am I not?
Don't be
honest. When am I
me.
Not honest with
nah,
you?
Nah, I mean, come on. How much time you got?
What? Go ahead, ask a question.
When you type these columns like you did on sportsradio610.com today, Do you ever have to use a thesaurus?
Only when I'm stuck. I know there's a word I can't think of.
Because you use some big-ass words. You know damn well when I have to type a column, I got to use a thesaurus.
Yeah, normally 90% of the time, 95% of the time, I don't. But every once in a while, I'm like, what's that word I'm looking for? What's that word? So I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
see?
Mostly no. Okay. I don't think I used...
Mostly no.
I don't think I used it in this column. What big words did I use in this column?
I mean, this wasn't your most articulate column, but...
Appreciate that.
If we're being honest. Here's Justin Reed. He's articulate. He went to
You're
Stanford.
A hell of a guy.
Here's him talking about that Texans defense that let up 600 yards.
We have the ability to make plays. We have good players. We just got to do it. Not some of the time. We got to do it all the time. And that's going to be the challenge that I'm going to put on myself and on other guys in the locker room is to be consistent. You know, do it every play, not just some plays, not just the second half, but from the start of the game to the end of the game.
They don't have talent on defense.
Like, no, they don't.
That's got to be very clear. And the thing is, if you've listened to this show, that was the number one theme of this show about this team. The offense has to carry the defense. The defense has been ignored. The defense has been neglected. That's been the main theme. This isn't like some sort of reaction. The talent on this defense is not there. The offense is going to have to score at least 30 points every game. That's the card that you've dealt yourself under the Kings' watch. That's what it is. Don't let anyone tell you different. There is not talent on this defense. Brendan Scarlett started on this defense two straight years.
Yeah.
God bless him, but good Lord. Are you kidding me?
Right.
No injuries or anything, and Brendan Scarlett started two straight years? Good. Gosh, Brandon Dunn is starting. Carlos Watkins is out there. By the way, can we get him a helmet that fits?
Yes.
Good God.
Well, if you read my very rudimentary column today, my basic B column, I address these things. I believe the lead for my column is fire hot. I mean, come on now. This is one of the things that I address in that as it pertains to Jack Easterby on sportsradio610.com. I somehow, some way put a few sentences together, and I'm not sure if they made sense or not. It was a lot of, maybe one or two words that were more than one syllable, but you can find that.
I have finally found after it took me 601 shows to find how to get John Lopez upset.
I'm not upset.
It is jokingly say that one of his columns was not good. I have found the key to your heart. All this time, I've been trying to find something.
Oh, no.
And I just have to say, a column is not articulate. Not even kidding. And that is what gets
is
John Lopez
off.
Hot and bothered. I finally found it. And it makes sense because this is the start of his passion. This is what allowed John Lopez to even be a sports talk host. Yeah. Was his writing and his penmanship, and I have found it.
I think I spelled most of the words right. I'm not sure, but some of them were just so, I'm just a caveman, I just don't. No, I'm not upset, but it's in there, and I would encourage you to read it on sportsradio610.com. I mean, I'm not sure I can read it, but you can, I'm sure. We'll figure it out together.
Here's Deshaun Watson. You're trying to beat Green Bay, but, man, that one on Sunday hurt. Are the Texans going to be able to move past that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, regardless of how I play, it's all about the W. It's all about winning. So, I mean, every loss is very tough. Of course, being a division opponent on the road where we had them, it's even a little bit more tough. So, this one definitely hurts. But we got to, just continue to pile them up and see what happens.
Got to move up. Got to move on up. Got to get that dub. 3.5-point underdog. By the way, the ruling is in on the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
No player suspensions. No fines.
Looks like they will get a fine.
There might be a fine for the organization, but not the players.
Yeah.
So there's going to be no punishment for the Titans. Chiefs yesterday, they beat the Bills 26-17. Pat Mahomes, he's reached 90 career touchdown passes in only his 37th game. That shatters Dan Marino's mark of 40 games. To get to that 90th career touchdown pass. The Titans might have crushed the Bills by taking them off their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills were playing as good as they got. Now, maybe it's because they're playing two good teams, which is fair, but the Bills have now lost two straight, and they just got completely bullied by the Chiefs. Chiefs really just decided to run the damn pill yesterday, and that's what got them the dub.
I think you could be onto something there. I mean, there's something to be said for momentum, as we all know. And certainly the Bills, they just got kind of disconnected, from that pace that they were on. So, yeah, I think that might be true. And it also has something to do with the Chiefs as well.
Yeah, and the Titans, as we know. Cards all over the Cowboys yesterday, 38-10. Zeke Elliott fumbled twice. He's fumbled five times in six games. Cowboys still in first place, though.
Could McCarthy be a one and done?
I threw that out there. I think it's possible. Some people are saying he lied about analytics to get the job, that he basically put on a front, and he's not really very analytic driven. But they've won two games, and they're in first place. The entire NFC East, by the way, five wins. Five wins.
Well, I asked John McClain about it during leg hiking, and you can listen to that whole thing on radio.com if you want. Just go back and you can listen to our whole show up to 24 hours later, in fact. So let me ask you, six wins that division? Yes or no?
I say seven.
Seven?
Seven. Because they do have to play each other eventually.
Yeah, that's
where you get the
wins.
That's
why I thought it was an interesting number, six.
Yeah.
Because they're going to beat up each other too.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Ryan Clark and Rex Ryan had some interesting stuff to say about Baker Mayfield. Texans are going to play the Browns pretty soon. Rex Ryan, Ryan Clark, they think the Browns got quarterback issues.
I mean, first off, I got to say this. Look, I'm rooting for this kid. Everybody thinks it's a personal thing with me and Baker. No, I have a personal thing with every scout that said this was Drew Brees. If you think for a second that he's a pocket quarterback, you're mistaken. He's not the guy that everybody said he was when he came out.
The Cleveland Browns tried to build their house on the foundation that was Baker Mayfield, and that house was built on sand. It wasn't built on brick. It wasn't built on stone. And so this year, they tried a new thing. They said, you know what? We're going to build a house around Baker Mayfield to protect him. And what he's done already is lit the fire that is going to burn this house down. You can't win with a quarterback who plays football this way. But when you draft a guy number one overall, that says, I believe this guy is our franchise guy who can take us to the promised land. Baker Mayfield cannot. He is no Moses. They are no Israelites. They will be stuck and enslaved to who he is for a long time if he remains the quarterback.
Goodness.
Wow, that was great.
My goodness.
Now that was Baker articulate. Mayfield.
By the way, on the text line, someone says we need to have a segment where loopholes call in and dissect Lopez's columns.
Sure. I'm good.
Yeah, I can tell.
No, I'm good with that.
We're not doing that. John Ross of the Cincinnati Bengals wants a trade. He was drafted before Deshaun and Pat Mahomes, in case you were wondering.
Yeah.
So not the best look. O.J. Simpson, he weighs in on Romeo Crennel's decision to go for two.
He killed it.
Romeo, I love you. You might not make it to Sunday, though.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. A few takes from this weekend. First of all, if you can go up by 8 points with less than 2 minutes to go in the game, you kick the PAT. I don't care what these announcers agree with. That's BS.
Okay. OJ's wrong. Yeah, I'm talking to you, OJ.
You're going
to
die too.
Oh, wow.
James Click, Astros GM, was asked about Michael Brantley and George Springer. I think it's pretty obvious that they're gone. We already knew that. We know Springer. We assume that Springer's gone. I think James Click basically confirmed it.
You cannot say enough good things about George Springer. He's one of the best players to ever wear an Astros uniform. He's a tremendous human being. He's a tremendous leader in the clubhouse. We wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't pursue players like that, whether they were from another organization or from here. But at the same time, we have to contend with the fact that there's just tremendous uncertainty in our industry right now. $2.7 to $3 billion worth of losses. It may take us years to try to recover from this. So our spending is going to be dependent on what we think 2021 is going to look like operationally and what the market bears out as a result of that.
He gone.
That's a goodbye. That's you couldn't get more obvious. And I think it was
George
Springer's sister tweeted pretty much, it's been real, Houston, and we love you. That's that. I think it was his sister. Somebody retweeted it, and
I'm always weirded out by people who follow other people's sisters and stuff.
Yeah, I just
Dallas
saw
it. Zeke Elliott's mom and stuff. Like Clarence Hill, shout out to you in the Star Telegram.
Mm-hmm.
Quit thirst trapping Zeke's mom. He's retweeting everything she says. She gets a new hairstyle, he's retweeting it.
Now, I will say,
Clarence is thirsty, though.
I will say, if you are a beat writer,
man, Clarence is thirsty.
If you're a beat writer, you need to follow as many as you can.
One time I was at a bar with Clarence. He drinks a lot of Crown.
Really?
Oh, Jesus. So we were drinking, and this girl comes up, and he's kind of like busting the moves. Clarence is like an OG. He's like 50, still reps his frat and all that type of stuff, but an old G, all gray. Mm-hmm. He's like hitting on this girl, and this girl goes, why am I telling this story? Who cares? This girl goes, you know I'm married. You know what Clarence said?
Oh, this is going to be good.
Baby, we all got problems.
I have a hunch that's not the first time he's used that line.
It's not, but it was pretty smooth.
Yeah.
Jeff Luhnow, also pretty smooth. Also kind of a snake. He was on KPRC2 yesterday with Vanessa Richardson. Here's just a little taste of what Jeff Luhnow had to say about the Astros cheating scandal.
The people who were involved that didn't leave naturally to go to other teams are all still employed by the Astros. In fact, one of the people who was intimately involved, I had demoted from a position in the clubhouse to a position somewhere else. And after I was fired, he was promoted back into the clubhouse. So none of those people faced any repercussions. They weren't discussed in the report, but the evidence is all there that they were involved.
I'm glad that he's just had nothing to do with it.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
He's a victim.
He's only the general manager.
He's a victim. But what has he got to say to Astros fans? Here's Jeff Luhnow, who obviously nothing to see here in on his end. Here's him, the message to you Astros fans that Jeff Luhnow wants you to get.
2017, everything about 2017 was incredible. I mean, beating the Red Sox and then the Yankees and the Dodgers, the three most powerful teams in baseball, and winning our first championship in franchise history, no one can take that away from us. Those are memories that will always be with us. Don't ever let anybody take that away. But at the same time, let's learn from this experience. You know, the Astros broke the rules. They shouldn't have done
the
it.
The Astros broke the rules?
We should be mad about it. We should use it as a learning experience. As long as we recognize that it was wrong and we don't do it again and we learn the lesson from it, there's no reason we can't appreciate all the great things that happened during that time, because those memories will be with me forever. And this city, I gave it everything I had. I want every Houston Astro fan to know that. 8 years, I gave it everything I had.
Look,
the Astros cheated.
I've said this before, and I just want to make this very, very clear. He's a snake. He's a snake. That, first of all, I don't want to take away from what Vanessa Richardson did. That was a great get. I mean, that's as good as it gets. She's really, really good at her job, and her questions were fine. It wasn't you know, necessarily her fault.
I mean, it was the message he wanted to get out.
It was his fault, and he had this stage. But the one thing that bothers me the most is, because we all know he was a snake, and is. The one thing that bothers me the most is he's going to make people across the country hate the Astros all over again. All over again. Those feelings right now in the midst of the World Series, game one is happening, and across baseball, they're going to, that venom and that hatred for the Astros is just going to spike right back up. It's like the second wave, to borrow a term that we've heard here lately. And it's just disappointing. And then the other thing is, let me tell you exactly what this interview was. If there's any confusion at all, let me just clear it all up for you. It was just Jeff Luhnow angling for a job. The year suspension is up, and he wants a job. It was complete horse crap. He's a snake. He's angling for a job. He lied some more. He lied directly to the camera, and he's bringing up more hatred for the Astros. Other than that, it was fine.
He's a weasel that lies, but then he'll say when he's lying, well, that would never hold up in a court of law. Well, yeah, you can fudge stuff in the court of law.
Yeah.
But as soon as someone's like telling you something, they say that'll never hold up in a court of law,
you know something's up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this was the low point for me. I don't know why he brought these guys' names into the mix, but when he did, I didn't know where this was going, but this just kind of showed me what a weasel this guy is. This is Jeff Luhnow bringing up some Astros legends of the past when asked about the cheating scandal.
Think about, for a second, all the people that are with the organization that no one questions why they didn't know. My special assistants, Biggio, Bagwell.
Jeez.
Enos Cabell.
God.
Reed Ryan, Jim
Gosh,
Crane,
man.
All the marketing people. All the, they're all around the clubhouse. They're around the players. None of them knew.
I mean, damn, bro.
Biggio and Bagwell.
Why are you bringing them into this?
Biggio and Bagwell are figureheads, man. They're just sitting behind home plate.
Biggio
going,
and Bagwell get brought into this?
And Enos Cabell?
What are we doing here?
And then there was the Taubman stuff.
The Taubman stuff was weird.
He wrote it, man.
Yeah,
he's looking at you square in the eyes and just lying.
And then in the interview, he goes, yeah, and then after the Taubman thing, I had to go up there and meet with the media. No one else was willing to do it. Yeah, you're the GM, dummy.
No.
Who do you want to go up there? You're the GM, dum-dum. You're the one who sent out the thing. No one else wanted to do it, so I did it. Dude, this guy, he's one of the best GMs. He's probably the best GM in the history of this city. But
that,
man,
doesn't
he's
mean he's
creep.
Less of a snake than
he's
he is.
He's a creep, dude. Yeah. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We got some calls to action for the Houston Texans. I got calls to action on the field. John Lopez got calls to action in the owner's box.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.